manager months after firing former GM Cuesi Adolfo Mensa. Mike Trout's homered Angels and White Sox tied up at one apiece in the seventh. For Trout, it's his 10th of the year. Red Sox placed pitcher Garrett Crochet on the 15-day IL because of shoulder inflammation.
Fox Sports Update on KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, Wine Down Wednesday, and specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, a coalition of farm groups and lawmakers is urging Congress to address California's Proposition 12, saying the state's animal housing law created costly disruptions for pork producers and consumers nationwide. The measure requires pork sold in California to meet specific livestock confinement standards, including for farms located outside of the state. Supporters say the law improves animal welfare, while opponents argue it creates a patchwork of regulations that burden interstate commerce. Congressional ag committees are expected to continue hearing and drafting language for a new farm bill in the coming weeks as pressure builds before current provisions expire. Ag groups are pressing lawmakers to strengthen the farm safety net as growers face weak crop prices, elevated borrowing costs, and uncertain export demand. The next farm bill is especially important because many producers are facing tighter profit margins after years of high input costs and shifting markets. Well, the Supreme Court is hearing oral arguments in Durnell versus Monsanto, a case involving allegations that exposure to Roundup caused cancer. Missouri plaintiff John Durnell claims that Roundup and its active ingredient glyphosate led to his development of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. He's asking a court to uphold a $1.2 million jury award. The case is one of thousands filed over the past decade against Monsanto, now owned by Bayer.
Get ready to bid on the equipment you need in the Ritchie Brothers Unreserved California Regional Auction happening May 5th. Inventory is housed at Ritchie Brothers Los Angeles, Sacramento, and Tulare locations with in-person inspections available. Choose from agriculture equipment, earth-moving equipment, compact construction equipment, and heavy transportation. Don't miss this great opportunity. Visit rbauction.com/Los Angeles to sign up. That's rbauction.com/Los Angeles.
Today, we're talking with aphids and whiteflies about Safina insecticide from BASF.
We just got nailed with it.
So tell us, how are you feeling?
Really, really weird.
And you still want to devour this field?
No way, bro.
There you have it, folks. Safina insecticide is specifically engineered to disorient aphids and whiteflies so they can't eat. And when they can't eat, they can't destroy.
Help protect your alfalfa from aphids with Safina insecticide. Always read and follow label directions.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks are losing ground after the central bank announced that it's leaving its benchmark funds rate steady between 3.5% to 3.75%, where it has been since December. In their policy statement, officials made no changes to language that signaled that the next move in rates is more likely to be down than up. But the decision drew dissents from 4 out of 12 members, the most at a policy meeting since 1992. Three Fed presidents backed the rate decision, but objected to retaining the so-called easing bias. A fourth official, Fed Governor Stephen Miron, dissented in the opposite direction and backed a rate cut. After the closing bell, 4 out of the 7 mega-cap tech stocks will be releasing financial results. In the meantime, oil prices are hovering near their most expensive levels since the war with Iran began, with West Texas Intermediate crude trading at around $107 a barrel. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
My name is Christine, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, was a healthy 34-year-old, and 3 months later, he was gone. Thankfully, he had life insurance. Ethos made it so easy. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. 100% online, no medical exam. Life insurance didn't take away the loss, but it did give us the space to just grieve.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/save. ethos.com/save. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends, next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
On the last broadcast, I suggested that labor leaders were conducting a kind of class warfare using some very questionable economic theory. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by Mills Construction. For architectural, metal, roofing, and siding, call Aaron at 610-1256.
On my last commentary, I criticized the AFL-CIO California Convention for adopting some resolutions which were actually hurtful to the men and women they represent. I spoke specifically on the false idea that business can be made to pay a larger share of the tax burden, thus relieving individuals. The truth, of course, is that business taxes are part of the cost of operation and must be paid by the customer in the increased price of the product. But the labor leaders in that California convention made other decisions equally harmful to their rank-and-file members. For example, they raised the old cry born of demagoguery that income taxes should be more progressive, making those with higher earnings pay a bigger share of the tax. Well, right now, at less than $10,000 a year, and I don't think many union members earn less, you are in the top 50% of income earners in the United States, and you pay 94% of the total income tax. At a little over $20,000, you're in the top 10%, and that 10% pays half the total tax. And if you're talking of the one-half of 1% who earn $50,000 a year and up, go ahead, raise their tax to 100%, take every dollar they earn, and it will run the government for less than 3 days. The delegates to that California AFL-CIO convention, I'm sure, were well-intentioned, but they made it clear they did not want a cut in government spending. They want more tax revenues to pay for that spending, and they don't seem to realize the only source of additional revenue is the great working middle class, which includes their own members, and which works now almost 5 months a year to pay for the cost of government. Finally, the other proposal the convention made was to gain more revenue from the capital gains tax. The delegates echoed the president's ill-considered charge that a reduced capital gains tax constituted a windfall for millionaires. Frankly speaking, the president was a little off base. It's hard to get great numbers of people excited about the capital gains tax. Very simply, it's the tax one pays upon selling for a profit something one owns. It is true, it affects mostly those who have savings to invest in stocks, land, or some other object. It is also true that capital investment is what fuels our industry and creates jobs. Our competitors in world trade, such as Japan and West Germany, even socialist England, have no tax on long-term capital gains. But it isn't true to say it affects only people of wealth. Half of all those reporting capital gains have adjusted gross incomes below $15,000. And more than half of the total amount of capital gains is reported by people with incomes below $25,000. In 1969, we virtually doubled the capital gains tax. In 1970, there were 31 million investors putting up the capital to increase production and create jobs. Today, there are fewer than 25 million. I wish today's labor leaders had the statesmanship of the American Federation of Labor Leaders in 1942, who demanded that the capital gains tax be reduced, if not eliminated, because it was preventing the investment of capital needed to create jobs for their members. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by Mills Construction, specializing in pre-engineered metal buildings. Call Aaron at 610-1256.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
And good afternoon and welcome to Sound Off. My name's Eric Gorham, and I'm usually, when you hear my voice, I'm filling in for Karen, but you have both of us today. We have Karen Veeley, and we have, I think, a great guest for what's been going on locally. Karen's been reporting on this. We have former supervisor Lynn Compton. Thank you for coming in, Lynn. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Good to be back here.
And I think Karen has a little bit of news before we get to that she wants to share with us, so we'll turn it over.
And as I've been doing for the last probably 6 months, about once or twice a month, Eric fills in with me when I have other things also, but he's been filling in when I have court cases. And I had another court hearing today. And The tentative has come out. The tentative came out, and the judge is dismissing the case as frivolous. She took it under a submission. So the case isn't over, but the judge has done two tentatives. She did one, then made slight changes to it. They both said that there were no damages. I will get into it tomorrow a lot more about what happened. But this is the tentative. The judge listened to the other side. Remember, I wrote a lot of articles about John Belcher. I mentioned his wife in one sentence in one article, and they came out and said, oh, this was untrue, and filed a lawsuit. And it's just been a pretty nasty couple months. And there's a lot more to this. There were people that had no business in this case. There was, for example, you had Ty Lewis and Clive Pender, two men I had never met, who put themselves into the case, claiming, not that I was wrong in the case. They were trying to stop a slap motion by claiming some things about residency and put themselves in. The judge finally said, I'm not listening to the residency. I don't want these. I'm not going to listen to anything they have to say. We're going to have no witnesses. This is about a slap motion, and that's all it's about. It does appear to be going my way, but again, I don't know. And because this issue today with Lynn Compton and Eric, I just decided to come down and be here also, because I think what is going on right now is of major importance to this entire county. Our elections are important. And when you have game playing, and when you have people that aren't doing, they aren't following the law, and they are not transparent, they can actually change an election. And part of the reason this is important is, we'll get into the exacts about this, but one of the things I do want to hit hard on is what is going on with the donation limits. Lynn Compton had fought massively while in office. I do not want to put donation limits unless they're across the board and they count for PACs, because people will do this. They'll do a PAC and they'll throw a lot of money. And it's not fair. If we're going to have limits, we have limits for everybody. As soon as Jimmy got in, Jimmy said, oh, no, we've got to stop the big developers from doing this. Well, Jimmy, you're the only one who seems to be getting the $25,000 donations now and big money that's privately done. But You want to...
Well, I think one of the things we should go over, just Karen's been doing some reporting. There's two articles out. One came out yesterday. I've been waiting for that for a couple days. So I'm glad it's come out. If you haven't seen it, you should probably go over to Cal Coast News, read up during the commercial break, because there's a lot of interesting things in there. We will be going over that. And I think Lynn brings a new perspective to this. You know, she kind of lived with it at the beginning, and I don't know when this came to your radar, whether it was Karen's. I know you went through it. Okay.
Into my radar last night.
So, you know, I think there's some interesting things, but this is about kind of PAC money and how it was used. There was, you know, from what I've heard with the reporting, there were some threats levied against you by Don Ernst. Like, if you didn't pull this weight, he was going to get Jimmy elected, etc. So I kind of want to get into, you know, the last couple of days with you. Like, what has this been like, and what are the realizations that you're starting to have?
Okay, so, yeah, I just learned of this last night with Karen's article, so that was kind of interesting. But I had read the articles she had written before with currently what's going on with the Adam Verdin Pauly campaign, and I spend part of my time out of state and part of my time back here now that I'm retired, so I wasn't following politics too much. When I lost my seat, I moved on. I didn't go back and relook at anything. I actually had somebody call me after the election and said there was a precinct in Napomo that was in old Napomo. I actually knew people in the precinct, and they said that it voted 100% for Jimmy over the number of people voting. And did I want to challenge it? Because I think I lost by 70 or 70.
Yeah, it wasn't much.
It was like one half of 1%. And I said, nope, I'm moving on. So I moved on, took a job, etc. So this was kind of news to me. You know, when Jimmy ran against me, we had a similar incident. Remember the Holland family and the dying and the death in the jail?
Oh, yeah.
So there was a big PAC that came in and gave Mr. Paulding money. And we brought it up. We told the Tribune. We told different news sites. And it didn't disclose where the money came from. It didn't come in as late as this one now that Karen's reporting about. But it came in, and I don't remember exactly what it was. It was $40,000 or $50,000. I can't remember. And finally, under pressure, after like 3 weeks, he disclosed that it was the Holland family. And he said, well, they didn't want me to report who they were, so I didn't report. Okay, so there's a history of that in an election against me. I did not know about this, but it doesn't surprise me. So I do have a history with Don Ernst, and I wouldn't say it's a great history. When I was on the board, Rita Neal was our county council. Mm-hmm. And let me just say, personally, I like Rita Neal. You know, I like her as a person, but I never trusted her. And I never trusted her because of several issues. And this isn't just something I'm saying in hindsight. You can talk to anybody at the county, and everybody knows that there was this trust issue with Rita, including all my peers on the board and everybody in county council's office. So when I wanted an opinion on things toward the end of my 8-year term, it got so bad, I would have another person that was in her office give me the scoop because I didn't trust her. And the reason I didn't trust her, I'll just give you an example, but, you know, people, when they have issues in their, you know, with their, a lot of them were property related issues, and they would come to me and they say, help me solve this. I'm trying to do this and I can't do this. And the county, the building and planning department is giving me grief and they're not following through on stuff. And I would go to Rita and I'd say, help me to help this person. They're trying to do something that's legitimate on their property that they have a right to do. And I would get pushback from her all the time. And what she would tell me is, even if there was a court decision, she would tell me, well, we don't interpret it that way. So the way that, so your person, your constituent, will have to sue us. Well, that's not reasonable for them to do that. First of all, they're coming against the county, and chief county counsel is going to write an opinion against them. The county has tons of money to litigate these lawsuits. So it's not reasonable in every one of these instances for some little homeowner to sue the county. But I would always get that pushback. I would get that, well, it's not, you know, it's, that's not how we interpret it. And, you know, I went to law school. I'm not a practicing attorney at all and never will be, didn't want to be. But I know how to read a court decision, and I know what precedents is set with that. And she always would disagree with that. So I didn't have trust for her. I also knew she was very close to Don Ernst. So she worked for Don Ernst, I think, for 5 or 6 years before she came to the county. And there was a lunch event where Don took Debbie and I out to lunch next door and wanted to discuss some things going on at the county. And one of the things was Rita Neal's contract, and her contract was coming up for renewal. And I said to him, and he was very adamant about us reenacting her contract and supporting her with the pay raise and everything. And I eventually voted no on that. But he basically said, I said, why are you so hell-bent on, you know, Rita? And he said, his quote-unquote was, she's family. She's family to me. She's family. So he basically alluded to, if we didn't support that, he would put money in against us in the election. So do we have to go to break?
No, you're good.
I keep rambling.
I'm just checking for texts and whatnot. Yeah.
So just cut me off.
We'll hear the music in your ear, and we'll still have 10 seconds.
Okay, so there came a lawsuit to the county, and it was, remember, the big opioid crisis and all the people that got addicted. So we as a board had to vote on whether we wanted to get reimbursement for that. I personally voted no on that. I worked in the pharmaceutical industry. I thought if you sue the pharmaceutical companies, you're never going to get new drugs for treatment of cancer, whatever. But I was the minority vote. The board, I don't remember what the exact vote was, but they had a majority, and I was outvoted. So they went through with this lawsuit and pursuing the pharmaceutical companies for reimbursement for the drug addiction problem in the jails and stuff like that. But we were told by county council that we needed to hire a local firm that handled class action lawsuits. And the only local firm was Don Ernst's firm. So we needed to hire a local counsel to collect all the documents. And then that would be, you know, up the chain of command to the main company to do that.
And one of the things that came out at that time was other counties were not hiring a private law firm. And they were going to get $4 to $10 million out of the pie for being a job that wasn't needed to be. That was one of the arguments that came out at the time.
Okay, so his firm was hired. I don't remember. I mean, there's so many decisions. I don't remember exactly what the amount was, but if I recall, the amount was to be paid at the end like a class action lawsuit. And most of it, as you know, goes to the attorneys. And so we hired him to do the work, and then he was going to put it up to the main company with the lawsuit. So during my election, I didn't even know about what Karen wrote yesterday until yesterday. During my election, he told me he was going to stay out of the election. And, you know, we had a contract with him at the county for millions of dollars. And he hosted a fundraiser for Jimmy Paulding. And his wife sent out a letter in Country Club Estates where they live, where I had been walking. And his wife sent out a very nasty letter just lying about me and saying I was a liar, etc. I brought it up to him, and his response was, well, you know, it's my wife. I can't control her. It's my wife. So they had this fundraiser, and two of my friends, one of them was invited, and two of my friends went to it. And when he saw them walk in the door, he knew I was going to find out. And he said, oh, just tell Lynn, you know, it's my wife doing it. I had nothing to do with this. So I thought that was highly inappropriate. And here you have a contract with the county of several million dollars, and you're dumping money into having a fundraiser and dumping money into my opponent's campaign. And so I can't talk about what happened in closed session, but let me just say we went into closed session and came out, and he was relieved of the local lawsuit. I did follow up with John Pashong later and said, this is after I was off the board, I said, did the county ever hire another law firm to replace Don's firm? And he said, no, they didn't. They didn't need to. We could have just. So it's things like this that made me not trust Rita Neal and not trust Don Ernst. And let me just say, Don Ernst is the largest Democrat contributor in this county.
Yeah, and just for a little perspective, a lot of listeners might not know what the big deal. This man is a big deal in this county, has been huge for a very long time. I talk to Democrats, the word that comes out of their mouth is godfather, and I'm not making that up.
I've heard that too.
So, you know, this man, if you're out there listening, he is a big deal in the progressive/Democrat party here in this county. I mean, really big. This is a guy that has helped pick judges, et cetera.
He's gotten everybody elected as judge.
Right.
Yeah. So it has to go through him.
And I just want people to know that, because I think a lot of people may have never heard the name, etc.
So, and his practice is personal injury, and I think it's morphed a little bit into class action lawsuits.
His son is kind of taking the wheel now.
John, I've met with his son he's had business before the board. I've met with him. I also had a connection because a person that I was dating at the time knew him for 50 years. So I mean, there was a friendly relationship. I wasn't antagonistic. Another interesting thing is, he called me into his office. He sent a note to my legislative aide and said, I'd like to meet with Lynn, but I don't want to do it in her office. Would she be willing to meet with me? And so I called him. I said, you know, what do you want to meet about? And he said, well, I want to talk to you about Jimmy Paulding. And I said, okay, well, I'll come by your office tomorrow morning. And he said, I want to hire Jimmy. Would it bother you? This was after I won the election. And I said, Don, I'm not like Adam Hill. You can hire whoever you want to hire for your business. You can do whatever you want. I'm not going to be punitive against you. But let me just tell you, we did some competitive research during my campaign, and I'll show it to you. And I did show it to him. And it basically said that all the things that Jimmy was running on were lies. He said, I built the jail. He worked on the jail for like 3 hours.
He claimed he was a project manager on a jail. And I looked in this also. I can't remember. It was like
3 hours.
It was a very small amount of hours.
Maybe he's effective.
He was an analyst. He was not the project manager. And there was just, it was exaggerations to make him look bigger and better than he is.
So I showed that to Don. He asked me if he could take a copy. And I said, no, but I'll sit here and let you read it. You know, my campaign had done the research, and so I owned it. And then he left. But I said, you do what you want to do, Don. So what I suspect is Jimmy wasn't doing well with his little law business. It had only been going like a year or something. And he needed a job, so he went to Don and said, give me a job. But Don was afraid it was going to piss me off and we'd pull his contract at the board. That's my suspicion. So anyway, Don did not hire him. I will say that. He did not hire him. So when Rita Neal's contract came up, I voted no on it because she was the highest paid civil servant in the county besides Cal Fire.
And she got big raises each time it came up.
She was making more than any attorney in San Luis Obispo.
Yeah, her raises were jumping like 20, 30 grand at least.
And I had a philosophical problem with that. Number one, she was paid more than Dan Dow was paid. And I also had a problem that, you know, you're a civil servant. I was on the board 8 years, and John and Debbie and I never took one pay raise. We said, we're not going to do it. You know, we're civil servants. And I struggled. I struggled through a divorce and paying my bills, but I never took a pay raise. And I just felt like it was a slap in the face. So I voted no on that. And that's when he turned, because he... So when I look back at these decisions with Rita and, you know, things that she turned down and said her interpretation was different and everything, now that I know all this, I believe it was run by Don, and Don said, no, anti-growth, you know, don't support this. As far as what Karen wrote yesterday, I honestly didn't know anything about it until she wrote this yesterday, but they broke the law. And let me tell you how they broke the law. They filed, this was in my campaign in 2022, they started a PAC, a political action committee, which had unlimited donations, and they filed their filings, which legally have to be done late. Even their first filing was completely late on purpose. They did it right before the election. They cheated by not filing the full disclosure until after the election. So they didn't want people to know that only two contributors to this pact were Don Ernst and Ray Mattson, and it was about $50,000. They didn't want people to know that until after the election. And even if it's disclosed a month before the election, that still doesn't give your opponent a whole lot of time to respond, to do a mailer or something like that. Mailers are a very effective way to let people know what's going on in people's, you know, record. And each mailer used to be about $7,000. So by giving $50,000, they were giving Jimmy a huge advantage. They also, besides the PAC money, donated to his campaign, and I don't remember the amounts, but there you could, and somebody could look them up. But if I recall correctly, it was between $10,000 and $20,000 a piece to Jimmy's campaign. So they're looking at giving him like $70,000 or $80,000 and not telling anybody about it. They also did not name on their committee the primary focus of it, because the primary focus was to defeat Lynn Compton. It wasn't, there were no other candidates involved. What they're saying now with the case, the more recent case going on, it was primarily for Jimmy, but now they're saying, oh, we're going to contribute to other candidates and stuff too, now that they got busted. But they also filed declarations, or they didn't file declarations as to the independence of their campaign, which has to be done under penalty of perjury. So they broke the law in many cases. Let me just say, when I read about this, I've had several people call me and say, you know, are you going to sue? What are you going to just sue? You know, are you going to sue? And the way that I look at it, you know, it's water under the bridge. I lost the election by 71 votes or 70, whatever. I'm not going to go back and relitigate it, but I don't know if I'm going to file a complaint. It's still within the statute of limitations. And I think people need to understand what Don Ernst is doing to this county. He is buying elected officials and putting them in office. And I also find it hilarious that Mr. Paulding says, I don't take big money. I wanted big money out of politics, when he is the biggest recipient of big money, but they hide it. And and then Adam or me, I couldn't have responded. I didn't even know what happened, you know? So it's just dishonest. And I think he's very dishonest. And in hindsight, I don't know if there's a statute of limitations on this, but I should have filed a bar complaint against him after it happened. And it was kind of funny because when we yanked the contract at the county, Rita was very quiet about it. And without going into detail what happened in closed session, she was quiet. It was like,
right.
So I knew she was, yeah. I knew she knew this is going to be really bad for me if this gets out, because it's going to, I'm going to have egg on my face because we didn't even need this in this county. And we directed it. There's just, it was too cozy of a relationship, but anybody at the county knew this with my relationship with her. And that's kind of the history.
So what's interesting to me, and this is one of the bigger things, and hopefully we have enough time before we hit break, is, you know, now they're saying a lot of that money, it went to Jimmy, it went to Dantona, it went to Salud Carbajal, which is a whole nother thing. We'll get to Salud. Let's
wait
for that one last.
We're talking about the, there's two different committees.
The one against me.
The same, let me.
Yeah, well we'll do this. I knew we were going to run out of time, but we'll come back. We'll set this up in the next, after the next break, and probably won't be able to get to the whole thing till the 1 o'clock hour. But we'll be right back with more Sound Off.
Usually a reviewer, but I had an amazing experience at Davis Body Shop. From start to finish, the experience was ideal. Everyone was friendly, helpful, and professional. They kept me updated, did quality work, and had me in and out. No hassles, and returned my vehicle to me in perfect condition.
If you ever have an accident and need to repair your car, you could do what Ann did from Paso Robles. She took her car to Davis Body Shop. And Peggy from Atascadero said,
our family needed repairs to one of our cars, and friends had recommended Davis Body Shop. We were very pleased with their helpfulness, their attention to detail that was provided to us. They explained the process and kept us updated as repairs were made. They also assisted us in securing a rental car. I would definitely recommend them to anyone who needs repairs to a car.
Davis Body Shop is the area's largest auto body collision specialist on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Junior, you know why my TV is turned down so low? Last week, I went down to see Peter Lucier at Hearing Aid Specialists of the Central Coast. He's a nice young feller who tested my hearing. He had me try on these nearly invisible hearing aids. See? They ain't got no buttons or nothing. By gum, I hear like I'm 29 years old. Call Peter at Hearing Aid Specialists. Dial 805-460-7385. Or use your smartphone and go to slowcountyhearingaids.com.
Hi, this is Chris from We Help You Legal. Legal documents should be simple and affordable. At We Help You Legal, there are no lawyers and no high costs. Just certified experts to assist you with living trusts, wills, divorce matters, corporations, and LLCs.
Hi, I'm Christina. We also offer notary services. You can find us online at wehelpyoulegal.com or call 805-237-7770.
We Help You Legal, your Central Coast legal document company.
Savage Spirits and Deli on 21st and Spring wants every military person to know that you get a discount at their store. They appreciate your service and our freedom. Savage is home to the Bearcat Sandwich, the Boys in Blue, and the mouth-watering fresh barbecued tri-tip every day. Be sure to ask for your discount for active military and veterans. Savage Spirits and Deli on the corner of 21st and Spring in Paso Robles.
And welcome back to Sound Off. We are back. We're talking about, you know, we'll just call it dark money. I don't know if it is technically dark money, because to me, you don't know who gave it, but they've tried to hide it pretty well. So I think we should go back, because there is two different PACs we're talking about, and we'll let Karen kind of fill us in on the difference and when. There's a different time frame, etc.
So there is a limit on how much you can get of in a campaign. And what Jimmy was pushing was, I think it was $5,500. It's up to $59 now
per person,
with cost of living from one individual to give to a campaign. And it was one of the main things that he wanted when he got elected, was to stop this from happening. But here's the thing. The way he voted for it, and it was said at the meeting, I think during the meeting, Greg Graywall was very passionate. He was, you can't do this. This isn't, you know, you're going to let the PACs, people are going to start PACs. Jimmy argued that wouldn't happen. And there are rules with PACs. And again, if you're going to give all your money to one person, you're required to make it a certain type of PAC that has much stronger reporting. Well, what happened here, though, was in 2026, there was a PAC started with a treasury. Dorothy Hines started a PAC, and Ray Mattson donated $18,000, and then Don Ernst donated $22,000. And the day after they both already gave money, Dorothy Hines, Jimmy's old 2022 campaign treasurer, formed this PAC.
So they gave the money first.
They gave the money before the PAC was formed, so they seeded it. They literally seeded the PAC. Well, CalCoast News did a story regarding this, and a couple days later, Dan Dow looked at it, and he said, wait a minute, you didn't do this legally because you were supposed to have this as a primary candidate PAC, and when you do that, you got to have their name. It had to be like the Paulding PAC. You have to say what it is. And then you have very strong reporting requirements. But by claiming it was a PAC for a lot of people, they didn't have to do it. Well, then on this one, this is the one that just happened in 2026, they came back out and said, oh, wait, we were always going to add a bunch of new people in. And then they said, we're giving money to Jim D'Antona, we're giving money to Greg Hart for Assembly, Don Addis for California Assembly, Sue Carball for the U.S. House of Representatives, and we were always going to. The problem with that is they took money they already reported was spent on Jimmy and now said it was spent on all of them. So they've literally gone back and changed what they spent the money on. But then it gets even more interesting. Because then you can go back and look in 2022 when they were fighting against Lynn. They did almost the exact same thing. They started a PAC for a group, but only made it about Jimmy and Lynn's race. They only spent money on Jimmy and Lynn's race. It was not for a group. It was to get Jimmy elected and get Lynn out of office.
And it was about $50,000 on top of what they each contributed to the campaign.
There were $10,000 of that was from two unions that gave it at the very end. Every bit of it was done late. So I'll give you an example. On April 12th, 2022, Don Ernst's wife, Terry Ernst, donated $25,000 to the 2022 committee. That should have been reported because of the amount on April 13th, if it had been properly reported as that type of a PAC. Instead, they waited to May 30th, and reported it 9 days before the election.
And so, Karen, you make a good point there. If it should have been reported in April, we would have seen it, my campaign manager, and we could have done a press release about it. Where's this dirty money coming in? You know. But when they reported it after the campaign, if I had known at the time, what good would it have done?
And it was actually, they reported it on May 30th, right before. It was 9 days. The election was on June 7th.
You can't put together any literature or anything to distribute in 9 days. You can't even get it printed up in 3 days, you know?
And the same thing with Mattson. He got donated $10,000 on May 10th, required to report it on May 11th. Now, let me explain. Anything 90 days before an election must be reported. If it's over, I think, $2,000 or $1,000. It has to be reported within 24 hours. So that's why we're giving the dates. And again, in this case, if it had been the properly constructed PAC, they would have had to do it. And then again, another thing is the committee treasurer was required to file a 463 verification under penalty of perjury for every single independent expenditure made. Didn't file any of them. They didn't follow the rules. They ended up putting a large amount of money into Jimmy's campaign, and he won by in the 70s votes. He didn't win by a lot of votes. Would $50,000 buy you 50 votes? I would gather it would. And so this was they were able to do well in this election, and this man threatened Lynn. He threatened to go after you when he lost that contract.
You know, without outing some people here. There were other people he threatened to on the Board of Supervisors. And threats were, if you don't support Rita, I'll put money in against you. And I know other people in other elected offices were threatened too.
All right. I think we have the backstory pretty much complete. We can go into the next hour and kind of get into the nitty gritty. So we'll be right back with more Sound Off.
And we should...
AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM KPRL.com Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.